This evening's first reading is from the book of Hebrews and may be found on page 1201 in the Bibles in the pews. Hebrews, beginning at chapter 1, verse 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire." But about the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last for ever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. And the gospel reading is taken from Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 22. It can be found on page 1029 in the Pew Bibles. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be Christ. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." And with many words, John exhorted the people and preached the good news to them. But when John rebuked Herod the Tetrarch because of his marriage to Herodias, his brother's wife, and all the other evil things he had done, Herod added this to them all: he locked John up in prison. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven: "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you.
Let's pray. Father, may the words I speak this evening be those you want spoken. May each of our hearts and minds, eyes and ears be open afresh to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you want to turn to Hebrews, it is indeed on page 1201, but it doesn't have a page number, so you'll have to find it there. And as Mark has already mentioned, today the church celebrates or remembers the baptism of Christ. And the account we heard in Luke this evening of Christ's forerunner, John, who prepared the way, knowing his place. John as the one who pointed towards and spoke to people of the one who would come after him, the one more powerful than himself, the one who was good news for the people, the one who had the power, wisdom, and the one who had the authority to judge. John was not afraid to speak out. John was not afraid to know his place, his role, and his purpose in God's salvific plan. Matthew gives the account of John's reluctance to baptize Jesus, saying that he needed to be baptized instead by him. But he does what is proper and right according to Jesus, and does indeed baptize him in the Jordan. Here in Luke we see the affirming words of God the Father over God the Son. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Now, what son or daughter wouldn't want to hear those most affirming words? What crowds wouldn't be able to see the power in the Holy Spirit descending like a dove, and to hear that audible voice from heaven, all revealing who Jesus was and anointing his ministry as it was about to begin? It would seem that less than 40 years later, the passage we heard from Hebrews shows the need to remind, reteach, and reaffirm that which has been seen by John, spoken by the Father, and taught and brought to the people by Jesus. Remind, reteach, and reaffirm that Jesus was indeed superior to all, that he was the Son of God, and this was the plan to save all people, and that Jesus was indeed above and over all things. Now, a little bit on the background of Hebrews, and no, it doesn't have to do anything to do with a male making a cup of tea. Hebrews. Okay, I'm really sorry. My Christmas jokes weren't any better than that at all. I'll be held up tomorrow morning, that one. The author is not identified, and while for many years it had been referred to as the Epistle of Paul to the Hebrews, for some 400 years or so, this has thought not to be the case. But whoever it was written by, and there have been suggestions made since, it's the recipients that help us understand a little more of the purpose of this book for them, and the guidance and the teachings that we too can take from this letter. The receivers would have been Jewish converts, Jews who would have known their Old Testament scriptures and who had then chosen to follow Christ. They understood him to be the long-awaited Messiah. But they found themselves tempted to revert back to Judaism or to bring their Jewish traditions and customs back to a higher importance than that taught by Jesus. Teachings of what is and isn't important when following him. They were putting aside the fact that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Old Testament, Jewish traditions and roles. Paul speaks firmly of this in Galatians as he stands up to Cephas. Fear set in, and Cephas had separated himself from the Gentiles despite having eaten with them before. The truth of the gospel, the truth of God's grace, the truth of the supremacy of Christ was dwindling, and they were putting behind them that which had been done once and for all on the cross, and they were beginning to follow the law as their saving grace. So here in Hebrews, the people are being reminded who Jesus was, that he was and is the mediator of God's grace, that this doesn't now come behind the law that the Jews had followed, that he doesn't come behind the prophets and their ancestors, and he does not come behind the angels. He is superior to them. And 3 points from this passage, which we're going to look at this evening: God's glory, and the words sustaining and remain. The first two, God's glory and sustaining, we'll find in verse 3, and the third, remain, in verses 11 and 12. God's glory revealed through his Son. Once seen, there is no turning back to the old order of things. No longer can it be said, how can we know a God we cannot see? And the argument, well, you must be crazy for believing in an invisible God, just doesn't stand. He has revealed himself through his Son, visible, human, and walked on the earth. Formerly, he spoke through the ancestors and the prophets. He was not silent throughout the Old Testament. He spoke through words and through deeds, through a covenant with Abraham, through dreams and visions, and even by a handwriting on the wall with Daniel. Many of those who followed God and trusted him are testimony to God's hand in the world from the very beginning. And now, in the New Testament, God's glory is seen face to face in human form. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, as we hear in Colossians. What is God like? Jesus is an exact representation of God's being, the radiance of God's glory. We know of his character. This is revealed through the Old Testament, but now we see him face to face. Each person individually could now meet with him. He didn't just appear out of nowhere. 2,020 years ago, he wasn't created as if a clay model so that we could finally see what God looked like, but static and cold. But he had been there from the very beginning with the Father. He didn't suddenly have to study the Word in order to work out how to behave, to copy the God he had seen in heaven, here on earth, because Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word. Jesus is an exact representation of God's glory. And we can be tempted at times to totally humanize Jesus and expect him to fit our convenient mold that we'd like him to be. And sometimes we can forget his divinity, see him as our best buddy or our friend, cuddly and warm and a bit fuzzy perhaps, forgetting that he is not only fully human as you and I in physical form, felt emotions just as we do, been born of a mother just as we were, pray to the Father just as we can, eat, drink, and enjoy company, and indeed enjoy quiet, just as we may. All of this we do see through Jesus' life recorded in the Scriptures. Yet he is fully divine, fully God, and it's through him that we can indeed find a friend, but one who is the exact representation of God's being. Not a little bit here and there, not a little bit like I'm a bit like my dad in height and hair colour, and a bit like him in temperament and intelligence, but an exact representation of God's being. So when we meet with Jesus through his word, through prayer, through baptism, through the Eucharist, we are meeting with God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, all there present at Jesus' baptism. God's glory. Next, the word sustaining. Jesus Christ, absolute supremacy and sufficiency to reveal and to bring about God's grace to us here on earth. Not only have we already heard that he was there from the beginning, appointed heir of all things, an heir being one of the highest positions of authority to have, but he also sustains all things by his powerful word. Jesus is the Word. And we read that in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Jesus sustains us and all the created order by his word. He brought about life by his word, and he sustains that life. How? Jesus is described as many things in the New Testament: the Good Shepherd, our guide, our Saviour, our Comforter. He's described as the door, the way to eternal life, the truth. He is described as the bread of life, the water of life, and the light of the world. All things we need in this life and the next come through him and in him. In sustaining someone's life, you're giving them all they need to stay alive. But Jesus' promise goes even beyond that. He came that we may have life and have it to the full. A life lived carrying sin, carrying the worries of the world, carrying the burdens of life, is not as God intended. Jesus' sustaining presence in our life came through his life, his death, and his resurrection. He lived and died that we live in the light of his salvation, that only through him we are saved from our sins and forgiven. He replaced all the old systems of animal sacrifice by atoning for our sin, by laying down his life so that we are saved. His supremacy is over all. And finally, the word remain. Jesus will remain the same. He doesn't change, although all else changes around us. He remains the same. Although all else will eventually wither and die, he remains the same. We may change the way we worship, the songs we sing, the way we pray, the way we live, but Jesus doesn't change. He was there at the beginning, came to earth, returned to heaven, but he and his promises never changed. And when the road gets rocky or we decide to deviate off the path, what changes? Our attitude, our behaviour, our mood. All of these may change, but Jesus remains the firm foundation. And for those who may try to argue that the Bible is outdated and out of touch with the 21st century, is it? Is the word not as relevant as it was then? Yes, it is. Is the world not still making the same or similar or even worse mistakes than it was then? Yes, it does. But does Jesus' message change? No, it doesn't. It remains the same, and his promises to us are the same. Now, I've been very fortunate along my path and my walk to have some very wise and experienced leaders to guide me and walk alongside me. And one such person, who will remain nameless, pointed me in the direction of some reading material, which some days draws you up short. Wise people often point you in the direction of other wise people. Perhaps it takes one to know one. In a moment, I will share a poem, and it's through this poem that we see how Jesus remains. God's glory is often revealed despite our weaknesses, as he sustains us through his word and remains with us through his spirit. Some days you may find it hard to swallow that God remains the same when a whirlwind seems to hit your life. But when you are challenged and you want to know why God hasn't changed a circumstance that you wish he had, remember that he does remain the same. His word remains the same. Our book, the Bible, remains the same. I'll read you this poem by J. Danson Smith. When from my life the old times' joys have vanished, treasures once mine I may no longer claim, this truth may feed my hungry heart and famished. Lord, you remain here. You are still the same. When streams have dried, those streams of glad refreshing, friendships so blessed, so rich, so free, when sun-kissed skies give place to clouds depressing, Lord, you remain here. Still my heart has thee. When strength has failed and feet now worn and weary, on gladsome errands may no longer go, why should I sigh or let the days be dreary? Lord, you remain here. Could you more bestow? Thus through life's days, whoever or what may fail me, friends, friendship, joys in small or great degree, songs may be mine, no sadness need assault me. Lord, you remain here. Still my heart has thee. Let's pray. Father God, you revealed to us your glory in the form of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that through your living word and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are never far from you. May we know your sustaining promises walking with us every day in this life and the assurance of life eternal when we trust in you. May we remain in you as you remain in us. And as we share in the bread and the wine this evening, remember that your love never fails. Amen.